This is Pure Decking, show number 585 for Thursday, November the 11th. November the 7th. I can read 2024. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and due to current food prices, the 5-second rule has been extended to 15 seconds. Tonight, we have a BSV. What is up, BSV?
Not much. Join in on the chaos. We have chaos, right?
Yeah, it's over there in the cookie jar. It's in the cookie jar. It's in the jar. It's in the jar labeled free cookies. That's where we keep the chaos.
Also, where we keep the brownies. It really throws people off.
Makes for an interesting flavor. We have a madman.
Hola. So the internet tracked me down this week. It may have been earlier than that, but I don't really look at messages anywhere. Everyone that knows me will tell you this. But, Zachary sent me a friend's request on Steam.
Wow.
We're buddies now.
We dated fucking 2015.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Like I said, I don't check those things very often. But now, if I'm ever running Payday, he might be like, I'm hopping into your map. And I'll be like, cool.
Yeah, I'm just remembering back in the day when we used to play WoW and we'd be sitting there trying to get your attention in the text chat, like pinging the fuck out of you. And it's just, nope, he's just going. He never read them. And we have an RU.
Well, I'm just deep in the salt mines reading the meltdowns.
Oh, yep. Yep. Half the country's upset. The wounds are still fresh, apparently.
It is very salty indeed.
I've been actively avoiding politics since the election, just one, because I'm sick of it, but two, I don't feel like listening to people either get really happy or get really upset about it, because I've seen both.
I couldn't play games yesterday. I'm in the middle of a heat wave right now, so I decided, fuck it, I'll sit back and enjoy some of the media I don't usually partake of. And I must say, Morning Joe was definitely my favorite.
I mean, the freakout compilations are kind of fun, like once,
yeah,
and then I'm over it.
Quick.
Yeah.
You know, they get old real quick. Like, I like watching the political pundits, the people that make money on this shit, talking crap constantly.
Oh, they're in the background going, thank God we'll have, you know, something to bank on for the next 4 years.
I really think they're done their load now. It's over. I mean, all of Hollywood came out for them. Nothing happened. Every one of the media happened for them. They just used language that was so retarded that nobody's going to tune more. I mean, The View probably had its highest ratings ever yesterday.
People waiting to see how they...
Well, they just wanted to see the shit show that was about to happen, and fuck me. First things out of their mouths were, oh, we got to end the identity politics. But these fucking white men and the fucking Latinos, they can't help themselves, man. And Mika on Morning Joe, someone had to take the Xanax bottle off her. She said like 3 words in the entire fucking 2 hours. It was great. But, yeah, it's over with for 2 years and start again.
Yeah. I wish we'd get more than the 2 years. I kind of wish we would. Well, I don't, but I kind of do, but I kind of don't wish we'd do the same thing they do. And I think several countries do it where they're not allowed to start campaigning until like a few months before the election. And that's it.
Yeah, we've got a 6-week window. You can't advertise. You can't leaflet drop. You can't do shit. You can do meet and greets at shopping centers and shit like that. But You can't do any public advertising.
See, on one hand, I really like the idea of just not having to deal with it until then. But on the other hand, it wouldn't actually work because you'd only stop the candidates themselves. You wouldn't stop the PACs. You wouldn't stop the news. You wouldn't stop the talking idiots.
Well, they aren't allowed to do any of that here, see? There's no big PACs doing anything.
Well, and it's you know, we're supposed to have the whole freedom of speech thing, so it's like, well, it's kind of stepping on that. And I don't like opening the door to stepping on that, so it's like,
one of the downsides of the 6 weeks is leaves a lot of voters uninformed.
And you have mandatory voting in your country, so you have a lot of people who don't know who they're voting for.
They don't know who they're voting for. And now that they've changed some of the rules, like most of the ballots don't have the affiliated party written next to it.
Oh, jeez.
You actually have to know who you're voting for.
So you can't just straight party vote. You have to actually know the names.
Yeah, you got to do that. I'm not opposed to it, but I can see how it whoever gets their name at the top of the ballot is almost a fucking shoo-in at that point.
Yeah, well, I will say something I found really cool was... you know, we had a couple of municipal elections going on as well as the national things. And, of course, you don't know who any of these people are. But I found on our county government website, they had a packet put together where they had asked them all a set of questions and whatever responses they put in there, they put in that packet. You could download this PDF. That was great. It's like, oh, my God, I can see who I'm voting for.
Wasn't that a Turning Point initiative?
I don't know. This was on a county government website.
Okay.
But yeah. I was like, that's fucking awesome. I can see who these people are. And yeah, that was nice because it meant I knew who I was voting for in the municipal shit where normally it's just like, that person's name doesn't look like pick an insult. So it's like.
I can definitely would like that. It's a pain trying to even look up, so. Their names beforehand to see what they are. It's like some have history, others you find nothing.
Oh, and yeah, I was trying to Google some of the names to see if there's anything else, and it's like one of them I found a Facebook page, one of them I found an article in one of the local papers about how they had given some speech that was basically anti-business. And it's like, well, not voting for that person. Oh, I'm not in their district anyway, so it doesn't matter. And then that was it. The rest of them, I didn't even find that. So it's just like, ugh. So yeah, that little questionnaire was actually really nice to find because at least it was something. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's hard for those who aren't into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To get informed because it is a very boring topic unless you've been following it from day one.
So let's go ahead and let's address the thing, the elephant. This is going to be the last episode of Pure Decking, certainly this year, possibly ever. Certainly for this year, and I'm going to be doing some other big changes. The website needs some serious attention. I'm probably going to take it off WordPress and do something different with it. Probably going to change the hosting up too, because the background of that hosting is just a mess because I spread across a couple of different accounts because I was expanding things and doing things in different ways and trying to keep the pricing sane. So I was taking advantage of some stuff and it's a mess. So I gotta figure all that out and clean it up. We're going to shut down the stream. I know it doesn't get a lot of attention. There's not much point to it anymore. So I'm going to spin down the stream. If we bring shows back, we'll do them live, but I'll figure out some way to do that. And it'll probably just be self-hosting Icecast on one of my other servers. But, BBS is going to stay up. I'm not getting rid of that. I'm hoping to do some more with that. But if we do bring the show back, of course, we'll put something on the website. But, if we do, it may not be Pure Decking. We may start a new show, call it something else. We might change up the format. I don't know what that would be yet, but I tell you, getting these news articles just hasn't been fun anymore. The news articles aren't fun anymore. It used to be fun to pick out this stuff, this near cyberpunk, silliness, make fun of it, have a laugh. And I mean, we still have fun doing the show, but everything around it's just kind of meh. Feels like work. So if we bring the show back, I want to figure out something better. But yeah, I've got to do a bunch of back end work, and obviously we're going to shut down the stream. So the name's not going to make much sense anymore. Galaxy 15 radio without a radio, but you know, hey, we'll figure it out. I don't know. You guys have any thoughts on that at all?
The only thoughts I have, nothing lasts forever.
Yeah.
You know, it was fun. We got to the top of the mountain. We're down the bottom of the mountain now. It's been 20 years of a good ride. What can I say? And the best part about it, we kept our friendships together because we kept money out of it.
That's true. That's true. If we had tried to go on any of the big networks and start trying to make money off of it, it would have gotten shitty real quick, because it always does when you get money involved.
I watched so many other, you know, stations come and go over the years. Careers rise and fall, all because of the mighty dollar. You know, long-term friendships shattered over $100 here and $100 there.
Well, and, you know, you think about it, right? If you get money into it and you actually start making money with it, and you don't lay out your terms early on of how this is going to break down, who gets what, who's going to do what, somebody halfway through is going to feel like they're owed a lot more than they're getting. And somebody else is going to feel like they're doing a lot of work and not getting, you know.
Well, then the ego gets involved.
Right.
You know, I saw that with one big show. They were just hitting the mainstream, as in hitting celestial radio. And what I would have called the co-host wanted to be known as a host, as a shared host, and he just lost his shit over it. And now his career is in the shitter, but the guy that started the show, he's still going. But, you know, and they had a really good show.
Well, also, too, though, if back when we were first starting all this, if we tried to sit down and put together, I don't know, a contract of some design, I mean, that wouldn't have gone over well. That would have turned into a shit fight right away and probably would have ended the friendships right there.
What sort of fun is having a contract over each other?
Right? But I mean,
if you don't do this, you're in fucking violation of blah, blah, blah. And I'm not doing the show on Wednesday. It needs to be moved to Thursday because I have Pilates on Tuesday.
And you're right about that. But also at the same time, if you're bringing money involved, it's now a business. You kind of have to do shit like that, because if you don't, it gets shitty really quick, like you were talking about.
Well, how do taxes work in four different countries?
Oh, fuck. I have no clue.
You know what I mean? Like, we had people from four different continents doing shows at one point.
The way it would work is, what country are you incorporated in? They do business taxes there. And then everyone else would be doing their personal tax in their country.
Are you? We're going to classify you as an Indian contractor, if it's easy.
Thanks.
Fuck, I don't know. I just... When trying to put this stuff together to do the show in the, you know, Thursday evenings, it's like... At some point, I stopped going, all right, Thursday, it's time to do the show. It started being more, fuck, it's Thursday, I got to get the links together. So,
I mean, best time I ever had doing show prep was in a dive bar on a Sunday morning in the United States.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have internet, man. I'm running around grabbing local newspapers and shit like that, looking for stupid stories.
I remember that shit, because that was the one where we were gone for 3 hours, but the recorder died after like hour one.
Yeah, didn't matter. Still had fun.
Yeah. Anyways, I did collect up stories for the last show. We can do them. They're pretty much exactly what you expect. I tell you, politics just sucked the air out of all the room. So, I mean, trying to find stuff that wasn't just, how will Trump do this or how will Trump do that? It's just like, fuck, I don't care. It's just.
But now you just got to wait 2 weeks now, because everybody's going to take a break for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because it's been such a long fucking run, man. Everybody's just done. Everything will ease up for about 2 weeks, and then we can get back to yelling at each other and calling ourselves Nazis.
Yeah, well, there's always that. I mean, it's like, And who knows, we'll probably get itchy and bring the show back a couple of months into the new year, especially if we start seeing shit worth talking about.
Besides, hope, Morps.
I wouldn't call anybody a Nazi. I'm a homophobe. Everyone's a faggot.
Ah.
All right, let's get on to stories.
All right, first one up is from Ars Technica. There is nothing unfair about Google collecting fees to profit off of Google Play gift card scams while refusing to refund victims who collectively lost millions, federal judge Beth Freeman ruled Monday. So for what they're talking about here is when you get those phishing scams or they call the people on the phone or, you know, it's like, oh, you need to give us $1,000 in Google gift cards. Or, you know, yeah. they go for gift cards because it's easy to flip those on auction sites for cash. Well, Bitcoin usually, but so yeah, Google, they tried to sue Google over these gift card purchases because the scammers are using it, and Google's like, it's not our fault. You all went and bought gift cards. That's on you. We don't have to give you refunds on that. And as cold as it is to the people who got scammed, I kind of think Google's got a point.
I think they're 100% the right.
And it's not that they're losing the money that was put on them. It's the transaction fee for loading. And then, yeah, that would be the only fee that the person that's being scammed would be out, because anything else would be charged to the card.
Well, again, the scammers are pretty good at tricking people into buying these things with cash, too, so. Largely granting Google's motion to dismiss a proposed class action suit seeking substantial damages for a range of allegedly unfair practices, Freeman found that Google is shielded from liability because the tech giant did not induce victims to purchase the gift cards. Scammers did. The lawsuit was filed by Judy May, who lost $1,000 in 2021 when scammers tricked her into buying Google Play gift cards by claiming she was eligible for a government grant. Okay. Let's just stop here for one moment. Why on earth would the government, an organization that literally prints money, tell you to go buy Google Play gift cards?
We're doing a study on consumer practices with Google, and I'm going to need you to go buy $10,000 worth of gift cards, but don't worry. I'm going to be sending you a grant check for $15,000. You're going to have to keep the rest. Just tell me how easy it was to purchase the gift cards. And then to prove that you actually did this, I'm going to need you to submit the numbers off the back of them on this spreadsheet to this website. It is madmanstudy.google. That extra O is supposed to be there.
The problem is, I don't think you're wrong. May was told she could send codes from gift cards to cover, quote, certain costs up front to receive the same day delivery of the grant money, unquote. After she fell for it, she realized she'd been scammed, but Google refused to provide a refund, citing terms May considered unconscionable. Well, depending on how you bought it, if you bought it on a credit card, you do a stop payment, although, well, that'll get Google will flag your card, or whatever store you bought it at will flag your card at that point. May claimed that Google knows its gift cards are a preferred way for scammers to steal funds and should put warnings on gift cards alerting customers to common scams. It's not Google's fault that people lied to you over the phone. I mean, I feel bad that people get scammed. I do. I really do. I don't like the scammers. They're terrible people. They deserve to be disemboweled with something blunt.
The problem there in lies, Morps, is that these old people grew up in a country that had high trust because it was very homogenized.
Yeah.
And now it wasn't as globalized as it is now. And these people know that. They take advantage of the elderly because that's how they're just naturally ingrained to trust people. But my generation now, we're pretty fucking aware of what's happened to our nations, and we're no longer a high trust society. If anything, we're an extremely low trust society.
In places, but yes.
I've little faith in my countrymen. or my new arrival countrymen, if it's what you want to call them now.
Well, I don't think my neighbor is going to try to scam me out of my money directly like that. But I think anybody who calls me on the phone probably is. And it might be my neighbor calling me on the phone, but I don't think they do it in person.
That's what I'm saying, man. You don't know. Just because the dude sounds like he's from Mumbai, he could be fucking down the road.
And
or he could be in Canada.
I'm not sure how much it is on the they grew up in a high trust society, because I've had to deal with these scams and try to prevent a few of them when I was selling these types of products. And
it's hard. I've been there too.
They don't want to take my word for it that they're being scammed. I've had to stop wire fraud several times. I've had to stop several forms of gift card fraud. And my favorite was when the prepaid Visas first came out, trying to convince people, no, you don't want to do this. They're just going to take your money. And I've had gentlemen attempt to file complaints because I'm costing them $100,000. And depending on the idiot that showed up at the time before I had the authority to just to say no on my own and you weren't going any higher, eventually I got that and was very happy.
So
some people got frauded and then what came back pissed because I let it happen somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. The one I remember, God, this is ages ago now, but it was one of the eBay scams where it was, I'm buying a car on eBay and I have to, Western Union this money to a quote unquote escrow account. And I told the guy, dude, you're being scammed. eBay is an escrow account. You don't need an extra one. He goes, no, I want to do this. I'm like, sir, don't. You're being scammed. And he goes, no, I'm doing this. And finally, I called my manager at the time. I'm like, this guy's being scammed. And he said he wants to do it. And I'm like, yeah, we'll do it. So he Western Unioned a lot of money and then came back about 3 hours later and said he had called Western Union and got it reversed. And he lost about $2,000 in fees to Western Union, but got the rest of his money back. But still, it's just like, holy shit. So.
And Western Union isn't an escrow company, it's a wire service.
Well, no, he was wiring to a quote-unquote escrow, which was just the scam. So, yeah. May claimed Google knows that its gift cards are preferred a way for scammers to steal funds and should put warnings on the gift cards, alerting customers to common scams. Her complaint noted that gift card scams are underreported, while citing Federal Trade Commission data finding that Google Play gift card scams accounted for 20% of reported gift card scams between 2018 and 2021 and triggered more than 17 million in losses. Good God, how many people are buying Google Play gift cards on gray market sites to fund this shit? Because that is the other half of it, by the way. They're not dumping cash off these things. They're flipping them online for half their value. When you actually look into what these scammers do to get the funds, they burn like 3/4 of the money they scam in getting it back out. So they steal, $10,000 from Granny. They might only get $2,000 of it and they don't care. And then when Granny chose, says she wants to get her money back and goes to the FBI, they might be able to reverse a little bit of it, and that's it. And that's assuming they even do it. Usually they can't even do that. But it's all burnt up in fees and transactions, and just they don't care. When I had to learn about this stuff for mortgage fraud and we looked into it, the way they muled the money around, it was just like, holy shit. They stole $300,000 in a wire transfer fraud, and they only got $15,000 of it. And the reason we know that is that's all the FBI was able to recover. It's like, wow.
They're not going to fix it, Morps, because everyone's making money on it.
Yeah.
Well, that and you can't fix it with the way that product is. The way to fix it is to educate people not to be stupid.
Yeah, it really is. Google takes a 15 to 30% commission when the gift cards are used to make purchases in the Play Store, May's complaint said. In that way, Google allegedly profits off scams while telling customers there's nothing Google can do, downplaying the fact that Google has the technical means to track transaction information related to the Play gift cards. And that's true. But it doesn't mean anything because the scammers are flipping the cards on auction sites. So, but Freeman ruled that, quote, May suffered economic harm because of the third-party scammers, fraudulent inducement, not Google's omission or misrepresentation, unquote, which again is true. It's not Google's fault that a scammer told her to go buy $1,000 a gift card and give the number out over the phone.
And I don't think Google did an omission. I think that's a misstatement by the journalist or the wrong statement of the judge, because Google didn't omit any of their terms.
Well, okay, that was the judge, but I don't think it was a misstatement. I think what they're saying is that Google didn't make a misstatement or omission. They couldn't have, because you can't foresee this crap. I mean, you can now because it's happening, but I mean, it's like you can't hold Google legally responsible because somebody else used them as an instrument of in a scam. Additionally, May failed to show that Google had any duty to refund customers after Google cited Target and Walmart policies that just show that it's common to refuse refunds. Freeman mostly sided with Google, deciding that the company engaged in no unfair practices, while noting that May had not used the gift cards, quote, in their designed way, unquote. The judge also agreed with Google that May's funds were not considered stolen at the time she purchased the gift cards, because May still controlled the funds at that point in time. Additionally, May's attempts to argue that Google has the technology to detect scams failed, Freeman wrote, because May couldn't prove that Google deployed that technology when her particular scam purchases were made. Even after May argued that she reported the theft to Google, Freeman wrote, May's complaint failed because, quote, there's no allegation that Google had a duty to investigate her report, unquote. Ultimately, May's complaint identifies no public policy suggesting Google has a duty to refund the scam victims or that the harm of Google's conduct outweighs any benefits, unquote, Freeman concluded. In her order, Freeman provided leave to amend some claims in the next 45 days, but Ars could not immediately reach May's lawyer to confirm if the complaint would likely be amended. However, the judge notably dismissed a claim seeking triple damages because May's complaint, quote, failed to show a likelihood that May will be the victim of gift card scams again, giving her awareness of such scams, unquote, which may deflate May's interests to amend. That particular part of the ruling may be especially frustrating for May, whose complaint was sparked by a claim that she would never have been victimized if Google had provided adequate warnings of scams. Google did not immediately respond to Ars' request for comment. So, yeah.
I would not have been victimized if you told me I could be victimized.
I mean, are you one of these people who put silly putty in your ears till they put it on the label? Not to do that? I'm sorry. I don't mean to make fun of this woman, but...
I'm empathetic towards her plight, but... No one's at fault here but yourself.
Yeah. I mean, just sounds like she got screwed out of money, so now she wants somebody else give her money.
You're right, BSC, but it's really simple. She knows she bought a Google Play gift card. She has no clue who these scammers are.
She needs to go to AT&T and sue them for having fucking phone lines that go internationally. Because without those international phone lines, she wouldn't have been able to get scammed. The logic, man. I don't know whether it's because she's a woman or she's old.
I don't know that she's a woman. It sounds like she's a college grad because she was like a grant thing is what she thought she was getting.
Either way, man, it's blaming the telephone lines for your stupidity.
I just don't understand this.
I mean, because it can't be their fault. That's what they're saying. Nothing is ever their fault.
It's this concept of a Google Play gift card to send somebody funds. I've never understood the logic of that, because I mean, okay, yes, they're flipping the things on an auction site for half value, and you know those CD key websites where you can get a Windows license for $18 or whatever the hell.
Yeah,
it's the same kind of website, right?
Exactly.
That's what those things usually are. Not always. I shouldn't generalize, but these sites where you can buy Google Play cards for you can buy a $100 gift card for $80. That's where a lot of those are coming from. That's where they're feeding them into those websites. Does that mean that that website is scamming people? No, probably not. They're probably just a legitimate marketplace, but they know damn well what they're, you know, what business they're supporting by providing a marketplace. They're not the thief in this case. They're the fence.
And I know they have to know what they're supporting, but they also can say, my business isn't here to support that. It just coincidentally can.
Yeah.
Because I buy gift cards from anybody, and there's a lot of people that get a Google gift card, and they don't want anything from the Google Play Store. They want magic cards from eBay,
sure.
Or they just want cash to pay a phone bill.
And you're right about that, Mad Ben. They very well might, you know, just, hey, we're just providing a marketplace. And you're right about that. So it's, again, it's an interesting point to try to explore all that, because it comes down to, you know, where, you know, is it's the fault of the scammer. They're not the scammer,
the criminal.
is the bad guy here. They are the antagonist in the story. Yeah, that marketplace is making a profit off of the bad guy, but they're not directly doing anything wrong. Google knows that people are reselling gift cards. They could put controls in that to make it difficult to do that, but they don't, because they don't want to put an extra amount of friction on end users actually using the gift cards. And again, you have to stop and think about this for a minute. Who on earth? I mean, what agency is going to use $1,000? It's like you can't get the money back out of these gift cards 9 times out of 10. So somebody's saying, oh, you can send us the money with gift cards. You have to know that's a scam, because there's no... If there's a gift card that you know that you can't just pull the cash back out of, how on earth are they actually spending that money in a legitimate fashion? Because if it's a legitimate institution, they're going to want you to use a wire transfer. They're going to want you to use a credit card. They're going to want you to use some sort of a legitimate financial instrument, not reading a scratch-off card over the phone or email or whatever.
I'm not sure Google should have the right to put those barriers in, because they have the right of first sale on their product, but once I buy it, it's mine. I should have the right to sell it if I want to.
Well,
and if they put a barrier to that, they're fucking me over as a legitimate customer.
Well, also, too, think about it. It's a gift card. The idea is that I don't want to just, you know, give you cash directly. I want to, you've told your nephew, or your nephew said, hey, I want Fortnite bucks. Well, rather than putting your credit card in there and risking your nephew, you know, running up a $500 bill on the Xbox there because they, you know, got your credit card saved in there, you go buy them the $50 gift card. Okay, maybe 50 bucks is a bit much on Fortnite bucks, but we'll just roll with it. Fine. You go buy them the gift card and hand them the gift card, because that way you're controlling how much you're giving them, but at the same time, they're still able to get the thing they want. But I don't know. I kind of feel like, how do you verify physical possession of a card in these systems, especially when most people don't have card readers built into their devices?
The only way, too, is to link it to a real ID, and I don't want to do that, because that almost defeats the purpose of the gift card.
So, anyways, yeah, I mean, I hate that people use these things for scams. I hate the scammers. Again, you know, we should bring back drawing quartering for these scammers, because they not only do they hurt people, but they waste all the money they steal. It's just like, God, it's the worst case. Like, you can't just go, you know, get your money back from them, too, because they've spent most of it just trying to mule it around to get it out of there. Anyways.
But look at the bright side. They're raising the GDP of all the countries. They're winding that through by so much.
And North Korea thanks you for your contribution. I mean, you know, fuck. Yeah. Next one up is from CBC.ca. The Trudeau government bans TikTok from operating in Canada, but Canadians can still use it. This is just weird. I mean, we were joking about it earlier. Canada is a silly place. Citing national security concerns, the federal government has ordered TikTok to shutter its Canadian operations, but users will still be able to access the popular video app. Innovation Minister François-Philippe Champagne. Really? That's that guy's name? François-Philippe? I didn't read the guy's name earlier.
Sounds like a stripper's last name.
This is made up French. It's like ChatGPT, give me a generic French name. It's just like, or French Canadian name. Okay, so the decision to wind down TikTok's two Canadian offices in Toronto and Vancouver was based on information and evidence that surfaced during a national security review and the advice of Canada's security intelligence and intelligence community. Quote, we came to the conclusion that these activities that were conducted in Canada by TikTok and their offices would be injurious to national security, unquote, he told CBC News. Quote, I am not at liberty to go into much detail, but I know Canadians would understand when you say that the government of Canada is taking measures to protect national security. That's serious, unquote. The statement stressed that the government is not blocking Canadians from accessing the app or using it to create content. Quote, the decision to use a social media application or platform is a personal choice, unquote, the statement said. But Champagne urged Canadians to use TikTok with eyes wide open. Critics have claimed that TikTok's user data could be obtained by the Chinese government. Obviously, or quote, obviously parents and anyone who wants to use social platforms should be mindful of the risk, unquote, he said. The decision was made in accordance with the Investment Canada Act, which allows for the review of foreign investments that may harm Canada's national security. A spokesperson for TikTok said the company plans to take legal action, quote, shutting down TikTok's Canadian offices destroying hundreds of well-paying local jobs is not in anyone's best interest, and today's shutdown will do just that. We will challenge this order in court, unquote, the spokesperson said in email. So the article goes on talking about some stuff in the U.S. too, but in this one, it's specifically weird to me that you're shutting down the local branch of the company in Canada, but not banning the app. So they can still steal all of your people's data and do bad, horrible things with it and hand it over to the Chi-Coms. But you're removing any ability to regulate their local offices because they're now no longer operating in your country. Am I missing something here?
No, they're not solving any of the negatives they're attempting to solve. And they're robbing themselves of tax revenue and they're citizens of jobs.
Now you're seeing the bigger picture, madman.
Because they've just increased their unemployment, reduced their tax revenue, and yeah, all the bad things can still happen because if they're still registering on TikTok, then the Tricoms still have the data. The Tricoms can still push whatever messages they want to push to them. So, yeah, if you're worried about the conspiracy of brainwashing, that's still happening. And if you're worried about them defrauding people, that's still possible. They did the worst of everything. Yeah. They did the worst possible combination of everything.
Oh, and for the record, when we say Chi-Coms, we're specifically referring to the Chinese government. That's why I used that term, not the people.
Yeah. The Chinese Communist Party.
Right, exactly. I'm not referring to the people. I'm referring to the government. Because their government is scary. Not that we have much room to talk. We just elected Crazy McPush the button. So, I mean...
Better than the cackling witch.
No argument. We've had
this. You will not insult the God Emperor or we will have you hung.
Okay, yeah, the God Emperor Trump Warhammer statue was awesome. I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah, but do we really have to sacrifice people every day?
Hey, they're only from New York and California. Did we need them to begin with?
Not really.
Oh, as far as you know, between the two of them, which would I prefer? Yeah, it'd be Trump. But God, the fact that was our the Trump was our best choice. It's like, really? That's what we're
Boosh okay. And a turd sandwich.
Okay. That said, my dad has given me several MAGA hats, and I still have them, and I have, and the black one looks awesome. So, you know, fine, whatever.
Oh, if we're going on this tangent, I've got something even freakier that someone showed me.
Madman, that person in the park was not a genius. They were a pervert.
I know. That's why I didn't suck on the magic straw. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. I need to get another AIDS test. But back to the other story. It's even more bizarre because it was shown to me by a woman. A framed Playboy with Donald Trump on the cover. I could have gone my entire life not knowing that existed. And two, I could have gone even longer not knowing that she had that hanging up on her wall.
Wow. CrossFit's a cult. Politics is a cult.
And he's president twice. And he robbed Grover Cleveland of the only thing anyone remembers him for.
Well, man, he's an honorary black rapper now. He's just beaten two women to a pulp.
Damn.
Oh, that could also make him an NFL quarterback now.
Yeah.
Same reason.
NBA star.
Well, I mean, he already did wrestling, so why not? Oh, shit's getting weird, man. Shit's getting weird. Next article is from blogs.windows.com. So this is the official Microsoft blog. Hello, Windows Insiders. Today we're beginning to roll out updates to Paint and Notepad.
Why?
Because everything needs AI. Why does Paint need AI?
They're adding generative fill. So they literally have video showing the new version of Microsoft Paint where they do generative fill by selecting a place, hitting the button, typing in medieval castle, and watching AI generate a medieval castle, and they're using the old Windows wallpapers to show these demonstrations. Then they've got generative erase, so they took one of the weird, creepy alien wallpapers from Windows 8 and then used generative erase to remove the object. This is the I think Samsung does the same thing in their phones, where I think iPhone can do it too, but I haven't played with it. But yeah, this is going straight through the Copilot stuff. And of course, you can still use Image Create. And they're adding it to Notepad. So in Notepad, you'll be able to do generative text generation. And again, it goes through Microsoft Copilot, but it's like, what happened to Notepad being the basic text editor so you can do config files and shit with it? But no, they need generative AI in Notepad. I wrote my first three websites in Notepad. What the hell is the AI going to do with that? I mean...
Hopefully correct your syntax whenever you have an error so you don't spend 8 hours debugging the code because you missed a comma.
Okay, that's Perl and it's a semicolon, but anyways.
AI is a new clock, dude. And I just put it in everything.
But yeah, now, clock.
Yeah, AI clocks.
I now make my own comic book in Paint. Okay, I'm going to say the Paint could actually be pretty cool. I don't really know why you'd put it in Notepad and not Word.
Right? That's the thing I don't get, is why are you putting it in the basic programs? It should be in... Well, one, I don't know. I feel like they should have made a different tool for... And instead of Paint, they should have like a Paint Plus or Paint Well, you can't call it Paint Pro because you got, you know, Photoshop Pro. But I don't know. I feel like there should be another tool between the basic image tool, or maybe make another thing to replace the basic image and turn Paint into a better tool. I don't know. I missed my Windows 3.1 Paint and Notepad. Damn it.
On the Paint one, I think you are turning into the old man yelling at kids on their lawn.
Fair enough. But the Notepad one ticks me off because that's a system tool. I need that to be a basic text editor, not, you know, hooked into AI shit and sending everything I type in into the cloud.
Oh. Now I wonder if they're going to require internet connection to actually use those programs, or if you just can't use the AI function without it.
Well, if they're smart about it, they'll make it so that it uses... because they hook it into Copilot, if you have one of the PCs that can do Copilot on the PC, so some ARM processors, and I think there was an add-in card that they were supporting that it did that, it should use that. But if you don't, then yeah, I think it does go out to their cloud. So I don't know what that does if you don't have an internet connection. Hopefully, yeah, like you said, it just says, oh, no internet, can't use it. But
so you either have to use a lot more processor or you have to up or connect to the cloud. Yeah, I just wanted to edit a text file.
I'm just gonna go set up a DOS machine, you know, Windows 3.1, and be all kinds of happy. Break out the old Amigas. basement and shotgun. Anyways, and whiskey, I think was the joke, wasn't it?
Yes.
Unfortunately, your shotgun and whiskey now have AI on it. So.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, you're making a joke about that, but. That actually exists, AI-assisted aiming on guns, and it's scary.
I thought that was just in video games.
No, nope. they are doing it. I think it's
been
actually,
out for a little while.
I think it's actually a combination of devices in the gun and the helmet, but yeah.
Scope usually, but yeah. At least on the rifles I was looking at.
Oh hell, the one I saw was where it was designed so you could, you know, point the muzzle of the gun around an obstacle so you didn't have to break cover, and you could still, you know, aim it and shoot at things.
Oh, this one is on a was actually just for hunting rifles. Pretty much, scopes for a little while you could get some that just. They're digital cameras. They just take pictures of whatever you're shooting at so you can show all your buddies the nice deer before you blew its brains out.
Because the deer still stood too much of a chance, damn it.
Yeah. Well, now, because so many people weren't wanting to put in the practice of becoming a marksman, there's a device in the gun syncing up with the scope. And you pull the trigger, and while your wobbling arms are moving around, missing this deer all over the place, when the gun finally lines up with a shot at the deer, then the gun fires itself for you.
It's aimbot. They put fucking aimbot in a real gun.
Yes. There's aimbots for guns now.
Sure. Why not? Hell, let's go for it. At that point, though, who killed the deer? Was it you, or was it the aimbot?
I'm going with the aimbot. I just told it to. And we're also going to make the same argument for any shootings that I'm not involved in, except I didn't tell the gun to do it. It did it on its own.
Well, now that's the
it
next...
It can do that.
That's the next question, though. They're going to say, well, if you can do this, why can't you put image recognition in there so it won't fire at people?
You can. It may be terrible. And then I'm going to be like, but the whole reason I got the gun is so I could fire at people. Have you met them? Some of them break into your house and try to kill you with a ball-peen hammer. I want to have a gun when that happens.
Sir, this is a people. Sir, this is a Wendy's.
And I also want a chocolate frosty.
Oh. The next article was from TechCrunch. The CEO of Canadian crypto... let's try this again. The CEO of Canadian cryptocurrency firm WonderFi was kidnapped and held for ransom on Wednesday, according to CBC. Dean Sakura was... Sakura Kata? I'm saying that wrong. Was reportedly shoved into a vehicle in downtown Toronto during rush hour, only to be released uninjured after electronically sending $1 million to his captors. The WonderFi CEO is the latest crypto celebrity to fall victim to a violent robbery. This is the 171st incident of physical violence to steal cryptocurrency, a security firm tells the CBC. Securica's company reported a third quarter earnings today, a day before the incident, generating 41 million Canadian in revenue during the last 9 months. Meanwhile, the price of Bitcoin soared above $76,000 this week, reaching a new record high for the digital currency. WonderFi is backed by Shark Tank. So, the reason I find this interesting is not because it's Bitcoin. Well, it is because it's Bitcoin, but not for just because it's Bitcoin. It's because the cryptocurrency is really good at controlling access if you have the keys. And if you have somebody who's smart about it, like using a hardware wallet and or other means of keeping the Bitcoin keys, you know, separated from a regular device that you can actually get into with a phishing attack or malware, or, you know, whatever, traditional hacking. Yeah, instead of hacking into their machines to steal the cryptocurrency, they're just resorting to old school robbery. You know, shove the guy in a van, point a gun at him till he hands over the keys. You know, it's the old $5 wrench problem.
Well, like the phishing stuff, the weakest thing is always the human interface.
That's true. But yeah, it's like, well, we're not going to go through all this trouble to hack your shit. We're just going to beat you with this wrench till you give us the key. So,
sir, I don't know how many of your toes I'm going to break before you tell me what I want to know.
But I do know I'm using this claw hammer to do it. So,
you want to start with the big one or the little one?
Which one heals faster?
I don't know, but if we go with the pinky toe, I might get the one next to it. It's kind of a small target.
Well, there's one way to find out which heals faster.
It's like, well, we don't want to accidentally break more than one toe at a time, so let me go get this punch. So wait a minute.
We may be moving into severing at this point.
That got dark. Let's do this last article. It's from the BBC. Australia plans social media ban for under 16. Australia's government said it will introduce world-leading legislation to ban children under 16 from social media. Yes, because nobody's ever gone onto a porn site and clicked the I'm over 18 button when they weren't. Prime Minister Anthony Albon said the proposed laws to be... tabled in Parliament next week, were aimed at mitigating the harm social media was inflicting on Australian children. Quote, "This is one for the moms and dads. They, like me, are worried sick about the safety of our kids online. I want Australian families to know that the government has your back," unquote. He's from the government and he's here to help. Yeah, that's not scary at all. While many of the details are yet to be debated, the government said that the ban would apply to young people already on social media. There will be no exemptions on the age limit for children who have consent from their parents. The government says that the onus will be on social media platforms to show that they are taking responsible steps to prevent access. Albon said that there would be no penalties for users and that it would be up to Australia's online regulator, the eSafety Commissioner, to enforce the laws. So you're only going to go after the companies, not the end users. Well, I guess, you know, for voters, that's probably something.
We've got a reading going on the floor of the Parliament right now. There's a law going in for users called the Mis and Disinformation Law that on a whim they can just determine that you've said something wrong.
Well, that kind of goes back to part of why decking hasn't been so much fun lately. It's like you literally have shit like that. I mean, how many people? They've had a couple hundred people in Britain arrested for posting stupid shit on Twitter.
Yep.
I mean, it's like...
And most of them were actually the correct information, but they're doing 3 years for false information. But they were right. They were just right before the government said they're allowed to be right.
I have a question on the term table in your country. In my country, it means it's not going anywhere. It's been shelved. It's going to be forgotten about unless somebody takes it up again.
They do a thing called a rereading. So essentially, one side of parliament is trying to filibuster it being voted on by going, okay, we've got to read the entire legislation. Please bring in the clerk. Clerk comes in with their fucking stack of papers, which is the entire legislation, and then reads it out loud, line by line,
that should
until
be a
they
requirement.
Get to the end.
That
and then they take a vote on it, and if the vote still isn't, there isn't a popular winner, then they can call for another reading, and so they have to read through it over and over again.
I actually kind of like the idea that I think they should be required to read the laws in full.
They only do
on
it
the floor
when they want to filibuster, man.
No,
they
I mean,
won't do
I mean,
it otherwise.
I mean, every law that they pass should be required
there should
to
be a
read.
Mandatory.
Oh, look, this is going to go through. It's just a matter of time. They'll get it through. But you combine this with the social media thing. Just a warning to all other countries. My country is the leading country to try and stop free information on the internet. So whenever you hear shit being done here, it's coming to a business near you. But you guys are lucky you got the amendments.
That'll protect against the misinformation and disinformation.
No, not if they take it up as a global thing like they want to with the United Nations.
That still protects me here.
No, I know it protects you, but everybody else is fucked. The worst part about it, the government isn't being held accountable to its mis- and disinformation bill. The government can just spew fucking blatant lies, and you can't do shit about it, but the average person says something that, you know, I don't know, part of the naughty word list, and they're fucked. They're going to prison.
That's one thing I kind of dislike is the concept of mis- and disinformation.
Yeah, it's bullshit, man.
Well, who decides
the way the scientific method works or the way any search for truth works is we stumble into it, and if we can't discuss things honestly, then there's not a way to try to find the truth.
Look, Mammon, they were seriously embarrassed after the whole COVID thing because they went after people legally for talking about COVID. And when it all came out at the end of the day, the government were the ones who were full of fucking shit, you know, and they caused all these issues with the country. So they're fucking embarrassed. They're trying to punish people now. We haven't had a government in this country that's been loyal to the country since Bob Hawke. They've just been strip mining it for everything they can fucking get and filling it up with people who aren't productive. Okay? And Albanese is a communist, and all the fuckers he's got around him. Albanese, my prime minister, hates this country with a passion for the simple fact that his mother was his single mother. She was poor. He joined the union operations and never worked a day in his life. And it's been his main mission is to fuck up this country for what he sees as revenge because he's 3 foot fucking five and got no backbone. He's a coward.
Well,
I'm probably going to prison for that one. Not missile. Actually, he's probably taller than 3 foot five. So that could be missile disinformation. I'm just not fucking sure.
This is why we use pseudonyms on the show.
Well, I don't know how to read a tape measure, Your Honor. I don't know how tall he is. Never met the man.
That's how big he was on the screen I was watching him on, sir.
There you go. Good call, Mark. That'll fly.
Anyways,
all this legislation's tied into that. Oops.
What about the idea of trying to keep kids off social media? Because you're not allowed to have personal websites anymore. Everybody has to do everything on, you know, corporate-owned platforms. God forbid you just set up your own blog.
I mean, it's a parental thing in my eyes. But the one thing I'm looking at here that, yeah, I don't think either side of government's actually looked at the optics of this. If you're, say, 15 today and you've been on social media since you're 13, suddenly tomorrow you're not allowed to use your fucking phone anymore, and you've had all your online friends stripped away because maybe you have friendships with people overseas and stuff like that, or different gaming communities, you're suddenly, the government takes it away from you. Which way do you think they're going to vote when they turn 18?
Violently. I presume they're going to get violent.
Also kind of depends on how are they defining social media?
I'd say they're going to go with the top ones, and they'll just they'll get people as different social media pops up. Look, to be honest, man, I think this is one of those feel-good things. We're doing it for the children, but really we're just using it as a backdoor to get digital ID through. Because that's their end goal, is digital ID.
All right, let's do this. Yep, wrong button.
That was great.
I mean, it is 10 o'clock. So, what I have for Dojo tonight, the last Dojo, at least for this year, for probably, well, probably ever, because if I bring the show back, we're going to do something different. You know what? I'm going to say it right now. We're not going to bring Pure Decking back. If we do something, we'll start up a new show. Because I want to change the format. I want to change what we're doing if we do something new. Maybe get somebody else to host it so I don't always have to do it. So we'll say it right now. If we bring a show back, it'll be a new show. It won't be Decking. We'll start over at show one. Because that's always gone so well for us with every other show we've done. What I have for you in Dojo tonight is the Bash Hackers Wiki went down not too long ago. And it looks like it's the whoever was running it was not maintaining it anymore. So this guy wrote a quick Python script, cloned it with, based off the IP address that he got out of, I think, an archive, and was able to clone the wiki into a GitHub repo so that it was archived and preserved. Again, learn Linux. Here's some information on using Bash to do cool stuff. I think that's worth pointing out as a digital dojo. That's all I got for you tonight. It's been a ride, man. Has it really been almost 20 years we've been doing this shit?
Yep. Oh, wait, I started. And man, you came pretty quick after that.
So, of course, yeah, normally I do all the promos. The Galaxy 15 Radio website will stay up. The BBS will stay up. I am going to sunset the stream. I don't know when I'm going to do that. I don't know what show will come back if a show comes back. We may not do a new show. And we may not decide on anything. I don't know. I do not know at this point anymore. I do know that it's, like you said, we've crossed the peak. It's time to spin things down. It's time for something completely different. BSV, closing thoughts.
I have nothing.
That's the spirit.
Madman, closing thoughts.
I don't know if it can be over. We still haven't got a video of are you actually jumping a shark?
Well,
you're going to have to do this for us, because you're the only one near an ocean.
I think you're near that thing.
All right, are you? Close us out.
It's been a long ride, a good ride, but good night, good luck, space cowboys.